Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net. And this morning we have with us John Ball with Stiefel Nicholas. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. John, as many of you know, follows the, I guess, the interior furnishings market. He follows most of the public companies in the flooring industry. And now that everybody's reported third quarter results, I thought it'd be a great time to get John with us. Let's start out talking about third quarter. One of the questions I was going to have for you is, Interface, if you look at all the public companies out there, Interface is the only company throughout the year. I mean, they started out really, really well, but even into the third quarter, they're the only company with positive numbers. Why do you think that is?
Well, the carpet tile area has been strong for several years, and obviously as a leader, they've enjoyed that share gain against Broadloom in the commercial area. We did begin to see business slow fairly materially in the third quarter for Interface, particularly in Europe. They squeaked out essentially a flat net earnings quarter. And as you know, we've been recessing in the residential side for 2+ years. So we're really looking at different cycles in terms of timing.
Right.
The commercial sector tends to lag residential. We'll now see the commercial sector, at least on a percentage basis, declined fairly dramatically. The residential business looks still negative, but it's hard to imagine from these levels accelerating on a percentage basis decline from here. So really just different cycles, different timing. I hate to say it, but Interface has turned at the table along with all the commercial players. There's nothing against Interface is coming. And we're going to see a fairly significant downturn in the next 12 months.
So your answer is basically it's simple. They're primarily commercial, and commercial is just now starting to come down, and they also have that modular tile, which is, you know, is I guess the even in a down market, that's the hottest product out there.
Yeah, I think they're relative to commercial carpet sales overall, Interface will fare quite well.
Yeah.
Due to the share gain and the position they have. We're just looking at fairly substantial reductions, particularly, say, in the European office market, where they have a meaningful presence in places like Paris and London. Those markets are right now very weak and weakening further.
And they're also better positioned than the last, we had an economic dip at the beginning of this decade, and I think at that time they were primarily on the commercial side of corporate side of the business.
Correct. And not only are there's two huge differences Interface today from Interface going into the last downturn. Number one, and most importantly, is their overall debt position and liquidity situation. They have a much cleaner balance sheet, and there is nothing close to a liquidity crisis like there was back in the early 2000s. So they're in a much stronger financial position. And as you said, particularly in the United States, they've diversified outside of the office arena to areas that should be much less prone to recessions, in government, say, or healthcare or education. And they've also been, arguably penetrating new markets, and hopefully new markets still. I'd throw hotel rooms as a possible expansion area, where if your share is kind of zero going in, even if the hotel market shrinks, which it likely will for carpet in the next couple of years, they may actually grow in that market. So they're in a very advantageous position in terms of diversifying. Not so much in Europe. They're going into the downturn with a greater exposure to the office segment, and there's more concern there.
All right. Well, let's look at Mohawk for a minute. Mohawk's, obviously the largest company in the whole flooring category. You know, their business is off. You know, I think on the Mohawk branded side, it may be as off as much as 11% on a sales perspective. But one of the things that Jeff Lorberbaum said in a conference call or something I heard recently was that he thought that 2009, actually, that the numbers should improve. And I was wondering what you thought he was basing that on.
Well, obviously, any forecast is an opinion, and
right.
Opinions can prove to be right or wrong. I certainly hope he's right. He may well be, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but certainly on a cost position, 2009 should be better, Kemp. I mean, as you know, we've seen dramatic inflation, particularly in the petrochemical side of things, that the carpet business has been chasing. But there's been impacts negatively on you know, for example, the cost of natural gas, which they use to heat their kilns mm-hmm. in the ceramic tile business. So raw materials and energy in general have gone up dramatically, not just in 08, but years prior. We've been chasing with price to catch up and really haven't caught up. If there's any good news about 09 in terms of looking out and forecasting, the cost side should be dramatically better. Demand looks to me like in the first half of the year will still be negative in a comparative basis. Certainly in the commercial side, we'll see that weaken. And I would expect with where construction is and the consumer is, we'll still see pressure on the residential side. Going out to the second half of 09, yeah, that's getting a little bit guesswork. You're really going to have to make a macroeconomic call as to what these stimulus plans do, what the overall credit markets, which are essentially frozen, do. And I'm even hesitant to make a bold forecast. One thing I will point out is that, yes, Mohawk's down 11% year over year in the Mohawk division in the last quarter. We're really off closer to 35% plus from the peak in early to mid 06. So we are well into this downturn on a residential side. It looks like it'll get worse before it gets better, but if there's any hope that I have is that we're closer to a bottom than a top fundamentally.
Right. Okay. So as we start looking at a recovery, which could start happening, I mean, who knows, it's crystal ball, but could start happening by maybe third quarter of 09, maybe the first sector that'll come back would be on the replacement side with the consumer, then possibly the builder side by early 2010, and then commercial hopefully right after that. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm really not putting a timing on it, Kip. I think you're right that the first thing you'll see recover will be the residential replacement business.
Yeah.
It will be tied to what job, unemployment's doing. Right now unemployment is getting ready to go up and go up significantly.
Right.
We have still precarious financial markets. We've got to see those things settle. It's very difficult to forecast, in my judgment, because we've never really gone through a period like this. You cannot, in my opinion, use parallels of previous recessions and say the duration was X months or quarters, and therefore this is going to happen this time. The set of circumstances is very different, and you could make a case that this could be a protracted recession. You could make a case that we'll come out of it soon, and I don't think there's a lot you can hang your hat on. We all make predictions. I would hope that we'd see conditions improve in the latter half of 09. Certainly, we're going to have much easier comparisons. But I think you're going out on a limb a little bit to make that with any conviction.
Yeah. Well, one of the things for sure is if, this whole look at what government intervention might be. So, there's two schools of thoughts on that. One is that stimulus package might help. And another one, I heard Alan Beaulieu, an economist, recently say that if government gets too involved, it's going to turn what might have been a V on a recessionary dip into a U. One of the questions I had for you is that Kermit Baker's a Harvard economist, works with the American Institute of Architecture, does their index. He said he thought that the commercial dip might be a much shorter dip than some of the last economic dips on the commercial side. Do you think he might be right?
Well, here again, I hope he's right. I don't know his thesis, and therefore I can't really argue point by point where I differ in my view. I think, Kim, it all hinges, though, around credit. I mean, the stock markets do their own things, but that's the equity market, and that, frankly, is not that important to the overall economy. But our economy runs on credit. And, for example, last week, one of the reasons the market weakened so dramatically was there was a freeze in the mortgage-backed security market for commercial property. This would go right to the point we're talking about. You cannot have credit, the availability of money to finance office building purchases or sales and construction frozen and have any semblance of a normal economy. That's what we have today. Now, I'm an optimist, and I don't think we'll be frozen for forever. But until we thaw, you're looking at a kind of a situation where you can't fathom how bad the numbers could be. Now, again, we're in an unusual state here. We had an announcement over the weekend pertaining to Citigroup, trying to bail them out. If we can get some confidence in the financial system and reopen some of these markets, one thing, not to get off tangent here, but it's not so much that the banks aren't lending as it is the securitization markets are shut down. What that means is banks traditionally would, say, underwrite a mortgage and then the next day sell it to ultimately an investor who's buying that paper in a securitization. That's the part that's frozen. We have to unthaw that. That speaks to investor confidence to buy this paper, that it's high-rated paper and they're going to get paid back. I don't really profess to know precisely how that works out or when. But that, again, is another circumstance that makes this cycle very atypical.
What needs to happen to free that up?
Well, ultimately, the investor needs to belly up to the bar again. Presumably, the interest rates are going to be more attractive. And I liken it to sort of flying the day after 9/11. It's probably the safest day to fly. Here, it's probably much safer to buy this paper today than it was in 6 months ago. The problem is everybody's hoarding cash. Everybody in the system, investors included, we've taken huge losses. On the appetite is just not there. It's a defensive position. So it's part, confidence, and it may be aided and abetted by government stimulus. It's probably time. Again, we will ultimately pull out of it. But it's a tricky balance, and we have to make sure that we still have confidence that our government can continue to step in. I mean, a whole other can of worms here is that if the financial markets around the world sense the U.S. is running out of money, quote-unquote, and we can't bail out everything, probably why they were resistant to tackle the auto situation,
right.
We have to have that integrity or things will completely collapse. So we're in a very precarious position here. And it's going to take some delicate balancing act to pull us out. I think we will, but right now things are frozen.
Come on, John. I thought you said you were an optimist.
Well, I am about, you study the Great Depression. We survived that.
Right.
74-5 was vicious. We survived that.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask anybody how things were in 1975 or 1931 through 38, I don't think there was an optimistic response at those times.
Yeah. Well, we got the presidential election behind us.
Yes.
There's a couple wins in here for us. And, I think most people that watch some of this stuff day to day have to be happy with what Congress said to the CARF people. I mean, go back, present a plan to us. So it sounds like there's some, wiser minds may be in place to get us on back on track.
I hope you're right, and I think there's certainly some irrational behavior camp in the financial markets. There's an old expression, I think it was John Maynard Keynes, who said that markets can stay irrational longer than I can stay solvent.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you can invest money and you know you're investing good money, and the markets can go down and down and down, seemingly irrationally, all based on fear.
Now, we can't.
That's where we are right now, and history says we snap out of that, and there are tremendous gains to be made. But to that quote again, it can be painful on the way down, and it can last longer than you think. We lived through many bubbles here recently, the tech bubble being another one.
Right.
Investors who shorted those stocks early because the prices were irrational, we're forced to cover it, in many cases, 2-3 times higher at huge losses well before those stocks crashed. And that's sort of in a reverse where we are with some of these collateralized debt obligations and securitization markets.
All right. Well, about to run out of time. I got to ask you one last question. You follow the stock market. You follow these publicly traded companies. Now, obviously, there's some good buys out there. When's the right time to take advantage of some of these good buys?
Well, on that front, I'm much more positive, and you have to separate the business from the stocks because stocks always move 6 to 9 months in front of the worst fundamental data point on the upside and vice versa on the downside. I think the key decision in any equity investing today is will the company stay solvent? Will the company make it to the other side of the valley? Because if they do, presumably the business will be, you know, the rise will be tremendous. So the good news is most of the publicly traded fluorocarbon companies are healthy financially, and I think will make it through this valley. What they will earn in the interim and how scary it will get and how much further the stocks will go down in the interim, I don't know, but I truly believe the stocks in this sector have significant upside from here. And investors with patience should begin investing now. If you had, say, $100 of cash, I put 25% of it work today. And if the market fell another 10%, I'd put the next 25% to work, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I'd sort of scale my way in if we continue to go down. If we don't, we go up from here today, at least you have 25% of your money in, and you still make substantial money.
All right. Well, we're starting a short week here, the Thanksgiving week. I hope you have a good holiday, and things continue to start looking optimistically good as we move on.
Well, Kip, I certainly hate the pessimism that abounds, cocktail parties on Wall Street,
yeah.
In my office. It's miserable, but it is reality. But we will survive, and I think the new administration and some of the processes that are in place are encouraging, and we're just going to have to batten down the hatches for the short term.
All right. We've been talking to John Ball, who's Managing Director at Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to FloorDaily.net.